Blog Talk Radio.
God is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures throughout all generations. I want to welcome you to the Principles of Prosperity. I'm your host, Ann Strickland. And as always, I like to start the show with a prayer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I just thank you for this opportunity and this time to speak your word, to bring your will for our lives here on earth as it is in heaven to pass. In the name of Jesus, your word says you desire above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. So, Father, use me tonight to help your people move into their rightful place here on earth. In Jesus' name, pertaining to finance, money, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The scripture is 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, for it's he who gives you the power. God has given us the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant here on earth as it is in heaven. And tonight, we're going to go through, the subject is God wants to be involved in your finances, your money, because he wants to bring you from where you are now to where he wants you to be. We're going to take the limits off of God. We're going to come into his will, wealth, because his word says wealth and riches shall be in your house. Throughout the Bible, we see that God has a lot to say about finances, because currency in the Old Testament was silver, gold, land, crops, herbs of animals, but and investments were barns filled with hay and storehouses filled with grain for sowing and feeding the animals or the herds. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. That's Genesis 13:2. At that time, this was a form of currency used at that time. Today, we have paper money, electronic banking. The results are the same. We trade it for what we want or need. Abraham listened to God, and God blessed and prospered him. He learned the spiritual principles of prosperity. He learned the spiritual principles of prosperity firsthand. God wanted to be involved in Abraham's finances, and he wants to be involved in yours also. So we're going to look at some of the foundational principles of Abraham's prosperity. But first of all, Abraham listened to God, and he obeyed him. That's Genesis 12, 1 through 4. He honored God, who was prospered him. He was generous and avoided strife. He was compassionate towards others. So this is all in Genesis. So if you want God to be involved in your finance and prosper you, you must honor these basic principles. You must honor these principles. You cannot be greedy and truly prosper, not greedy. Nothing wrong with wanting to have abundance for yourself and your family, but giving to God and being generous with others is part of the spiritual law. Blessed to be a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. So there are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. The scripture says this: the liberal person shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered. It's Proverbs 11:24-25. And Solomon understood the principles of prosperity. He was one of the richest men who ever lived. His Proverbs reveal many truths regarding finances. He wrote the Proverbs, Solomon did. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. He who gives to the poor, this is Proverbs 28:27, will not want, but he who hides his eyes from their want will have many a curse. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord appears to Solomon and says, ask what I shall give thee. Verse 5. That would be a dangerous question for some people. But Solomon only asked for an understanding heart to help the people. And what did God do? What did God do? All he wanted to do was help the people. And God's response was to give him wisdom. And because he wasn't greedy for himself, God, what did God say? I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings equal to your days. 1 Kings 3:13. It's the Amplified Version. You see, God wants your needs to be met abundantly. So in order for you to have true riches, the motive of your heart must be to bless others also. Also, you get blessed and bless others. It's God's established covenant. And this is what Deuteronomy 8:17 and 8:18 says. And beware, lest in your mind and heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. That's Deuteronomy 8, 17, and 18. That's the Amplified Version. So from the book of Genesis to the words of Jesus and the warnings of Paul, we see proof that God does indeed want to be involved in our finances. Now let's go to Matthew 6:30. Matthew chapter 6. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In 3 John 2, which is my Pennsylvania license plate. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So when we get our soul to prosper and get in line with God's principles, we can see financial prosperity manifest in our lives. I'm telling you, this is not something that I'm just reading and saying, this is something that I'm living. God is doing things now like I've never seen before. Be obedient. You must do what you're supposed to do. Give God his part. Don't be a thief. Don't be a thief. Because God wants you to prosper. He's not asking you to do for that dime out of that dollar, which is the tithe. You know what I'm getting to. But he is saying he wants you to give him that. It's a test. Now, he could say, I'll take 90% and give you the 10%. But look at the generosity of God. First of all, he gave you the power to get the wealth. He gave you the power and the ability to get a job. He did it. Look at it that way. It's all from him. Of ourselves, we are nothing. And that's what we have to all see. It's for him, and he wants to do the best through you, in you, and for you. So you know, if you want God, as he said over and over again, beloved, 3 John 2. So if you have any doubt that God wants you to prosper, you will not be able to release faith for your finances. If you have any doubt, whatever you believe and speak will control your financial situation. So confess, begin by confessing what God says. God's will is for me. 3 John 2 say, God's will is for me to prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. Take the word of God and bring it into the first person and confess that word. Say it again. God's will for me is to prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. 3 John 2. Then you can start saying scripturally, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and Abraham's blessings are mine. That's Galatians 3:14 and Psalm 35:27. God, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and Abraham's blessings are mine. So as you confess what God says about you, it changes you and your circumstances. Don't look at what you have. You create your life. You create by what you speak. So you're creating this. You're creating it. And watch your life start changing. As you confess what God says about you, it changes you and your circumstances. I'm telling you, if you have any doubt in God's word for your prosperity, read Deuteronomy 28. He said, God told Moses and the children of Israel that blessing and cursing were before them. If they chose to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, then they would be blessed in every area. Everything they touched would prosper. Everything. But if they chose not to hearken to the voice of the Lord, then they would be cursed with poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. That starts in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. You know, I don't like to read anything negative, but last week I decided to read it. And it is very interesting, Deuteronomy 28. Always read Deuteronomy 28:1-14, and I was very lucky. I didn't want to go through all the curses and everything, but you need to read the curses also. And when we look to see what God wants for us, you want to do the right thing. You want to walk in the spirit of love and forgiveness. You don't want to be poor. See, poverty is a curse, just as surely as sickness and spiritual death are curses. I used to think I was going to die with something. Now I know better. The devil, I'm saying now, the devil didn't give me my life, and the devil is not going to take my life. I'm a child of Almighty God. And he said, the long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. So I'm going to have long life, as I'm also having long life now. But it's going to be longer because I'm not tired yet. I have a work for the kingdom to do. The school, the principles of prosperity. This healing school of financial prosperity. I'm doing that. And that just started a year ago, a little over a year ago. And it's awesome. It's awesome. So I long life. because the body of believers have to get in line and come in agreement and know the whole truth of the Word of God pertaining to their salvation. It's not, salvation is not because you're going to die and go to heaven. It's for the part, another part of salvation is for kingdom living on earth as it is in heaven. And that's where we have come short. But that's all going to change. It's all going to change. See, poverty is a curse, just as surely as sickness and death and spiritual death are curses, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. For the people who think that they're under the law, that we're not under the curse of the law anymore, because Christ took that for us. And that's what I thank him for. We have to be grateful. And one of the curses of Deuteronomy 28 was the curse of poverty and financial destruction. So we've been redeemed from that financial destruction. Declare your financial redemption. God already has done it. So you declare, decree and declare. Glory to God. I'm redeemed from financial destruction. Wealth and riches are in my house. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. The blessing of Abraham included financial prosperity. He became very rich, a very rich man. Through Jesus, the blessings of Abraham have come upon us as we receive the promise through faith in God's word. So too many Christians think that prosperity is a curse. They've been deceived when they're walking, and some will argue with you. They don't even want pastors to talk about it. One lady said, I'm just poor and I can't afford the things other people can buy. And you know, people do that, and they just feel comfortable in that situation. And that's not, they think, oh, I'm poor. They think they're doing God a favor. No, they're not. They're poor representatives of kingdom business. God's word states that poverty is a curse. Just look at God's intent. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So if you can't, if you can be convinced that poverty is a blessing, then God will not be able to establish his covenant through you. So don't expect anything. If you believe that poverty is a blessing, but if you live in poverty and financial lack, those words are not a judgment against you. You may be poor, but don't be proud of it. So to get out of poverty, you have to let go of it. And whatever advantage you think it provides for you, look how miserable you are. Look how miserable you are. If you're comfortable, that's sad. If you're comfortable in lack and insufficiency and not having good things and quality, living a quality life, a good quality life, and you're happy, that's sad. I feel sorry for you. And you're not representing the kingdom of God. You're not representing what Jesus suffered and died on the cross for you, because Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. So change what you say. And don't let your words of doom and failure defeat you in life. Set a watch in your mouth and stop those doubt-filled negative words They do not agree with God. They do not agree with God. When things look bad, it's better to keep your mouth shut than to go around confessing and speaking it all the time. You know, what I say now when people ask me, how are you doing? I'm just saying now I'm talking about the anointed home. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Say it. Say it. You shall have what you say. Then Jesus said in Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say to you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. This is God's will for us. He said, I give you the power, because we have the power to speak. It's the truth that we know that's going to set us free. God has given us the power to speak life and death, to have faith. You have faith. Walk by faith. Believe God's word. So Mark 11:23 says, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. Believe what you say. Shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Let's see how that goes both ways. If you believe what you said, oh, I'm broken, that thing, you start believing, having faith, that's where you're going to be. But if you start saying, wealth and riches in my house, I'm more than a conqueror. Whatever I put my hands to do, I shall succeed and prosper. And say that, and say that. You shall have what you say. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if you want everything you say to come to pass, think about what you're saying. Think about it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm walking in the favor of God and man. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God calls you blessed over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. He says, you're blessed. You're blessed, blessed, blessed. And the foundation of starting to walk into that wealth is Malachi 3. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It doesn't get much better than that. He's promising. He made a bet. That's what he did. Prove me. I'm a living witness here of that word and God's word working. While I was in the church, that didn't have envelopes. They didn't talk about Malachi 3. I never heard Malachi 3. I heard it on my car radio, like I said. Over 40 years ago, I didn't know anyone who was tithing at that time. However, when I heard that message, I didn't forget it. The first thing I said was, I can't afford to tithe. That's the first thing I said. But I couldn't forget that message. I didn't know the Holy Spirit at that time either. But finally, after a few weeks, I decided I was going to start. I had to do it. And I'm telling you, what God has done from that time to now, and God, it's going to get even better. Things are going to get even better and better and better. Because now, in this year of 2015, these are the next 7 years of prosperity. These are the next 7 years of abundance. We get ready for it. Prepare yourself to walk in abundance, to walk in the perfect will of God in the name of Jesus. That's where God wants you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just say, help, wealth, peace, love, and joy are mine. In the name of Jesus. Just start speaking those words, speaking them. Blessed and highly favored. Just start saying it. In the name of Jesus. Confess, because you shall have what you say. that God's going to open up his good treasure. Say, thank you, Lord, for opening me your good treasure for me for this year and forward in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. But right now, I want you to listen to this announcement. The Healing School of Financial Prosperity, where God has me now teaching the Word of God and praying for people and their testimonies, and people's lives are being changed financially, and they're starting to know that they're supposed to be in business, they're getting promotions, they're getting jobs, their testimonies. So the Healing School of Financial Prosperity, this is an announcement. So I'm inviting you to come and be a part of it on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. It's 10 to 2. There are four classes, but come, if whenever you can come, come. You need to hear this. Hear these lessons. I would like for you to come for the first four weeks, four straight weeks. The classes are all free. They're dedicated to sharing God's principles of prosperity. The classes include some of the following topics. It's God's covenant promise of prosperity, why God wants us to prosper, wisdom in prosperity, and prosperity in the end times. This class is especially for you if you've been struggling financially, have experienced loss or lack of business, and you want to have a clear understanding of how and why God wants us to prosper. The address is the Gateway Building, the Empowerment Center, 3751 Island Avenue, Suite 100 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's the Empowerment Center in the Gateway Building, 3751 Island Avenue, Suite 100, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You can call or text me on 215-806-4879. The classes are free, and I encourage you to come. You're encouraged to come and be a part of it. There's also a seminar at that same location this Saturday, January 10th, from 2 to 4 p.m. on how to start a nonprofit organization. Now, this seminar is only $45, but you're going to learn a lot from that. But there's a number you can call, 1-888-797-5728. That's 1-888-797-5728. If you're thinking and you want the nonprofit, her name is Charmaine, and she is well qualified to teach. So you'll learn to build how to build a foundation, a solid foundation, EIN, and state corporation entity, choosing a name, 501c3 process, tax exempt, and so forth. So think about it. The number is 1-888-797-5728, or you can call me on the 215-806-4879. God has this, all this available for us to move forward. You can plan to come and stay all day Saturday and learn a lot from God. I love you. You're blessed and highly favored, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.